In the name of Jesus, amen. So I'm going to invite you all to remember way back and think about when you were a kid. Did any of you ever suffer that fearful and terrifying moment when you lost your parents? If you even got split up in a store or something like that? Because that definitely happened to me. And I was pretty small and in preschool, and it just burned an image in my head of that memory. And frankly, I can't really remember exactly when or what happened around the event, but all I remember was where I was in the hallway of my preschool. And I think my mom was trying to pick up me and my sister after school to bring us home. And for some reason, all the parents and the kids were gathered in the hallway in a bunched up crowd. They were all real close together, and we were moving through the crowd, shoulder to shoulder, to leave or something. And then it came to that moment where I lost her. I got bumped in the head, and I was turned another way, and someone got between us, and she was just gone. And I, as a kid, in that setting, I just could not handle it. I was scared. I was terrified for no particularly good reason. I was in a Christian day school, and the school wasn't that big, and everyone kind of knew each other. So I would have found my mom. But in the midst of that, I was terrified, and I felt lost. And the more I think about it now, it seems so unreasonable, because I could hear her voice calling my name, "Sean, where are you? Sean, come here." And I guess that put me a little at ease, but I still couldn't find her. And so I moved through the crowd, and then a clearing opened up, right? And I saw her. She was right there. And so I ran up, embraced her, kind of threw my face into her back just to know that I was right there. And I was so relieved. Until I looked up. And it turned out the lady that I was holding, when she turned around to see who was hugging her, was not my mom at all. And I could not help but feel so embarrassed, so scared, and even more panicked than I was before. I was confused, and my stomach just dropped within me. But have you ever had that kind of experience as a kid when you lost your parents? It seems so childish and so childlike, but I think you know the feeling. Especially if you lost someone and then find them and it turns out it's not even them. But as we get older, we move on from being fearful in those types of situations. As we get older, we do gain a little independence. We understand better how the world works and learn our surroundings. We become less fearful of those situations, because as we mature and leave home, our parents don't really have the same kind of hold on our lives as we thought and used to have in our mind as children. If anything, if that were to happen to me and my mom now, I'd probably get annoyed by the crowd in front of us, get frustrated that she got separated from me, and then get mad that I lost her. But things are a lot different when you're a kid, and those fears have a different way of coming up into us and showing themselves. And I would say that childlike fear doesn't really go away. All that really changes is where our dependency lies, where we find our safety and security and our protection. It's part of getting older, but I think we still get lost. That's why we come to church. Today we look a lot like kids because we come here looking for someone to depend on. And what do we come here for? We come looking for Jesus. Because we're lost. We heard his call and we're looking for him. Unfortunately, just like hugging the wrong mom, you find Jesus is not here today. I know you came here because you're lost and you need to come to embrace him, to be comforted in some way by him, but he's not here. You came here and you found me. Well, okay, you got me. But we always say when we go to church, we always say this is where Jesus is. Jesus is present in church. That's what we risk being here to do, to be with Jesus. We always talk about Jesus being here at church. We even say that the Lord's Supper is Jesus Christ's body, real presence here in the bread and wine. Okay, yes, you got me. We do say Jesus is here. Jesus is present in God's word from the scriptures. We confess that his promise in his body and blood and the bread and wine that we'll later receive. We do say those, and I'm not denying that. But what I'm saying is that Jesus, in his human body, in his person as he walked the earth 2,000 years ago, that Jesus that walked and talked to his disciples, the Jesus that Mary hugged and kissed as Jesus grew into an adult man, the Jesus with his scars from the crucifixion and his resurrected body, that Jesus is not here like that. There's no person sitting up here with me. He's not going to pop up from behind the wall and wave. He's not sitting in the back to chat with you later. The Son of God in flesh and the person of Jesus Christ ascended to be with his Father, and there he is ruling until he's returned. We are here looking for Jesus, but he's not here like that. We're in such much the same position as those Old Testament Israelites, the Jewish people, who only had the Word of God, the Word of promise, who only had the prophets. In fact, we're not so different from the Jewish leaders and the Jewish people from our story in John today. With the exception that they didn't know who Jesus was, they just knew who the Messiah was, the Christ, and were expecting him. But the Jewish people and the leaders were waiting and looking for the Messiah, trying to find the signs. And like us, they were just lost as we are, looking and waiting. And in the beginning of the Gospel of John, there's a voice of hope from John the Baptizer. Because John the Baptizer comes on the scene to present the coming of the Lord, to prepare his way in the wilderness, to speak like a voice, to testify about the light. He wasn't the light, but he came to testify concerning the light. And that's where our story begins. Like lost children, the Jewish leaders approach John the Baptizer as he's baptizing in the Jordan. And you might be able to understand their confusion and dismay because they're looking for the Messiah, the Christ to come. So they need to know this John the Baptizer who is preaching repentance, who's talking about the coming reign and rule of God. Is he the promised Messiah? Is he the Christ? And that's what they're sent to do. They ask him in three different ways. Are you the Christ? Are you Elijah, who Elijah spoke of? Are you the prophet to come? And in three of the same answers, John tells them no. The Christ is not here. I'm not him. I'm just a voice. A voice crying out in the wilderness to make way and to prepare a path for him to come. The difference between us and them is that a few verses later, Jesus comes on the scene, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and John baptizes him in the Jordan, and the Spirit descends, and God speaks that this is my beloved Son, and his ministry and mission propels all the way through the gospel. But that early part, when the Jewish people were looking for the Messiah, it's not so different for you and me. We come here looking for Jesus because we're told he was here. But all we get is a voice. Jesus is not here in that way, and especially during these times in the darkness, we could really use him right now. Because while we still have the voice, Too often the voice seems so distant and far from us. I can't help but imagine being like a little kid in the middle of a crowd of big adults and hearing the faint sound of my mom calling my name. But the other people and the other voices that are surrounding me, they're frightening, they distract, and they misdirect me. That's where we are. We're surrounded by a million voices that for some reason keep getting louder and louder. Another difference perhaps for us between those Jewish people and those Jewish leaders is that we have access to far more voices than ever before. You have access to the latest news that's going on down the street or across the world and the 50 different opinions that are talking about it and everything in between. You have access to the latest news, to all the sources, to people telling you not to listen to them because they're not giving you the right stuff, but listen to us because we have it right. We have all these different authorities thrown in our face, and we try to know what to do when we run to church because we know this is where we can find Jesus, but we look up and find someone else. The voice, the person, is not here that we expected. And who's the voice you're supposed to turn to for the real news, for the real truth, for some orientation to society and the circumstances surrounding us? Who has the right answers? Who's worth listening to? You hear the voice, but when you come and approach and maybe embrace, you look up and it's someone else. But you still hear that voice of hope in the distance. But you can't seem to find the source. When the darkness creeps in, who can you consult? For even the church seems to be painted in a negative light with all these instances of sexual immorality, with this financial scandal, or with family controversies. What voice is even genuine anymore? And where is that voice of hope? Because it seems so distant and far. I'm not ever surprised when people do lose hope. I'm not surprised when people would rather be lost than found. Because when you do commit and dig in to follow a voice and it turns out not to be what you thought, you get burned and you lose heart. When you're looking for your mom and someone else is not there, that's not your mom, it stops you in your place. And you don't want to move. You want to stop because you're embarrassed. You're frightened. And you're frozen in place, unable to just pick yourself up again. And to be honest, I am not able to pick you up either, to pull you out when it seems like everything is lost. But I can tell you, there is still a small voice. A small voice in the midst of the clutter that speaks something and it offers something no one else can give or promise. Because there's always hope for those who are lost. There is a voice of hope for you. We tend to think that hope is something that could happen. That's to say, hope is something we expect, that something might possibly happen. And when we tend to think about hope, we think there's a little uncertainty tied to it. At least that's typically what we have in mind when we have our normal conversations. But in the scriptures, hope is trusting in something that will happen. Hope is more like that faith and trust that there is something or someone on the other end, and you know they're there. Or you know what's going to happen. Whether it be on the other end like something in the future will happen, or on the other end like some distant place that you know is there, or someone like a person. Hope is like a letter from your friend who is coming to visit. Because you trust that he is on the other end and that he will do as he says and visit. It's almost like they're already there. like a phone call or a note or an email or even a gift from a loved one who's far away. The person is present as you read or listen or experience the thoughtfulness in a gift that is given. Sure, that person is not standing in front of you, but as you listen to that voicemail from your mom, from your kids, even as you look at the gift from someone who cares about you, it's like they're really there. Because you know they are there, on the other end. Maybe not right in front of you in their body and person, but they are right here in a voice of hope. I don't know why I despaired so much when I lost my mom. She wasn't far off, I could hear her voice, but I guess I just didn't expect her to pop out from nowhere and that she was just getting further and further away because it was so crowded and I couldn't see her. How could she see me? But almost immediately after I ran into that other lady, my mom came from behind and snatched me up. She grabbed a hold of me and I looked up and there she was, right there in front of me. And her voice was all I heard and all I wanted to hear. She held my hand and took my sister and me home. Jesus Christ reaches out and grabs you with his promises. Jesus is here and you are found. He assures you that he is here through various and different means, like letters or phone calls. Through these means, you hear his voice, a voice of promise. A voice not as distant as it might appear, but a voice of hope. He was here in your baptism when he called you by name and placed his name on you in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right on your heart. He's here when the gifts of bread and wine are promised to you to be his body and blood. He's here in the call of your pastor, in the letters of the scriptures, and in the voice of a faithful brother or sister. You have free access to hear him, to know his voice and his attitude toward you, and all the other voices go silent. You find that the voice of hope in Jesus Christ and him crucified, that the troubles and institutional foibles of the church are put to rest when Christ is at the center. For God even used voices of Pharisees to continue the proclamation of his word. It shouldn't be a surprise that God can use a beat up and washed up church to bring the voice of hope in Christ to others. The unfortunate reality we still face, though, is that Jesus has not yet returned. So yes, he's not here in the way we would like. We still only have a voice to hear and listen to, a voice crying out in the wilderness. The other voices will remain calling, beckoning you to listen, to give them the time of day, to cause you to lose your way. Sometimes those voices can even be one in your own head, pulling you away from the voice of your Savior. Even the voice of death, when it comes knocking at your door, Jesus won't be there in the way you would like, sitting on your bed. All you'll have is the voice of your family, your friends, your pastor, the gifts God gives. But in an instant, Christ will snatch you up like my mom grabbing me from the crowd, and you'll rest in him. He will take you by the hand, and he'll lead you home, probably when you least expect it. Remain listening to the voice of hope in Jesus Christ. Follow the voice where Jesus promises to be, and you'll remain with him. While he may seem far off, he's not too far, because he's right here where he promised. And he's coming soon. The letters are sent, the voicemail is full, the gifts are present. Return to them so you can be assured of what he promises to give you. Your hope is not in vain. He may not be here, but Jesus is right there on the other end, ruling and reigning over his creation. In the meantime, we live as people who have hope. We live in that trust that Jesus Christ is coming. Even in the growing darkness, there is a glimmer of light within us of Christ's presence that enlightens those around us. Voice him to others. because you know what it's like to be lost. You are in the presence of the Son of God, and where you're going, He will be with you. Use who you are as a voice of hope to be like John. No need to dress funny or eat wild honey, but in the wilderness, make straight the path by living out God's truth in your life. Prepare the way of the Lord by voicing Him in the areas He has called you to be responsible for. Put care in your work, extend love to your family, take time to continue that conversation with a stranger. Call the friend who's far off. It's kind of crazy how even a simple greeting, a simple voice of hello to someone who needs to be loved, who needs to know that someone is present and cares for them, can pull that person out of their wanderings and lostness and change everything. Be the voice of hope that Jesus Christ has called you to be. In His name, amen.